Hey, OnlyFans listeners. This is such interesting timing having my friend Christy Greider join me this week on the podcast. We recorded this right before the devastating floods in Kerrville, Texas, which happens to be Christy's hometown. Her heart is so big for her community, and she has encouraged everyone to go to communityfoundation.net to donate to this unimaginable tragedy. Christy Greider is married to fellow Las Cruces, that's where I'm from, Josh Greider, and we have gotten really close in recent years living in the same city here in Texas. In addition to her own writing, recording, and solo shows, she performs in Cream of the Crop cover bands, plays shows with Josh, teaches piano lessons, and is a great mom. I'm so glad that she clarified that Josh is really supportive of her solo career. It's the perfect example of how people can make incorrect assumptions from the outside. Christy talks about being in my songwriting accountability group, where you force yourself to write a song every 2 weeks, which I stole from my producer, Rachel Loy, who we give a lot of well-deserved love to on this episode. Give Christy a follow on Instagram and be sure to stream her new EP, All Right, and all her music wherever you listen. She's as beautiful as she is talented, so my joke about her being ugly is a joke. Enjoy. Hey, OnlyFans listeners, this is Bree Bagwell, and I want to invite y'all to join me August 14th through 17th in Red River, New Mexico, my home state, for 8750 Festival 2025. This boutique festival features 3 nights and 3 days of outstanding musical performances across 4 venues, alongside a barbecue cook-off, a CASI red chili cook-off, a state championship green chili cook-off. This is after my heart, y'all. This year's lineup is stacked, and there are no overlapping shows, so you don't have to miss one single note. 3-day passes are on sale now, and they are expected to sell out. The 3-day pass gets you into every show Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and it includes 2 full meals and a discounted lift ticket to get you up to Music on the Mountain on Sunday. You can get tickets to sign up to compete in a cook-off and learn more over at their website, 8750festival.com, 8750festival.com. You can use coupon code ONLYVANS, that's all caps and no space at checkout, to save
$10
off of your 3-day passes. Once again, go to 8750festival.com, get your tickets, and join me for an incredible weekend. Hey, y'all, this is Bree Bagwell with OnlyFans, and did you know this is going to be my 13th or 14th year at Music Fest in Steamboat, Colorado? I can't believe it. So this is Music Fest's 40th year being a festival. That is so incredible. It's one of the best music festivals there is. There's over 50 bands. So what are you waiting for? Go to themusicfest.com. Get on that wait list. It sells out every single year almost immediately. So you don't want to miss out. You don't want to be the only person that's not experiencing the coolest music festival there is. When you book your trip to Music Fest at Steamboat, you get 6 nights of mountainside lodging, 4 days lift passes, and 1 night lift pass. And don't forget that your Music Fest exclusive live music marathon pass is included with over 200 hours of live music and more. Go to themusicfest.com and tell them Bree Bagwell sent you. The Music Fest at Steamboat, down home, up high. Come get real with us.
I had to do an ABBA song one time for a father-daughter dance called Slipping Through My Fingers.
And it's very like, fingers out.
Yes, yeah. But it's very like kind of proper sounding, like slipping through my fingers. Anyway, and
then. That was a way better example.
I
think about Meryl Streep in Mamma Mia. But yes.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I have to rap sometimes, and then I'm a pretty good rapper.
No, I've seen you. The song you did at Mile Zero Fest?
Oh, yeah. That was No Diggity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about
the
that
genre
one.
The genre was 90s, and I did Everything I Do It For You, Bryan Adams.
Well, that was
and
so
then,
good.
And then you came out, like, one of the best singers, just in general, in all of our genre, and she came out saying No Diggity.
I mean, it was fun.
It was epic.
Hey, hey, everybody. This is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
I don't feel that great, but I'm happy to see your beautiful face.
I'm happy to be here.
Welcome, Christy Greider, and her good belt.
Oh, I do have a good Zilker belt on.
I love them. Do you know them personally, or do you just wear their stuff?
I know Riley, who represents them, mm-hmm. and that's about it, but she's a good representative.
Yeah, so I started wearing the Zilker belt, and like, I tagged them, and now they follow me now, and they comment and stuff, and I'm like, can we, the black and white one, It's so good.
I love that belt.
I know. Yeah. I wish I was a little bit smaller. We could share Zilker belts.
I bet we still could.
Okay.
Belts got notches, girl.
That's right. thank you.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
Listen.
That made me sit up a little taller.
Well, I know. We used to do it in the front seat of my old Sprinter, and people would... They would hate it because it's just like there's no good angle and you're just like right in front of that. And it was like, oh, so this is better than the RV.
This is great.
We've been talking about doing this. It's so funny because I keep my New Braunfels friends a little bit in my back pocket. So like we haven't had Wade or Randy or you or there's so many people that I'm like, in case of an emergency, I can just call my friends.
Well, I'm on a rainy day.
And I'm so glad that you were like, we should do this. I'm like, we should absolutely do this. Because you've been at the top of the list for a long time.
Well, because a long time ago, you were like, do you want to do it? Like, two different times in both days I was teaching. And I felt really bad. I couldn't.
Yeah, you teach piano lessons.
I do, a lot.
And you have, I thought, oh, you teach some people. And then the other day when I was at your house, you were like, oh, 56 students or something. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, how many?
Yeah, no, I do. I have like 57 students. And that's like during the school year. It lightens up in the summertime a little bit. But yeah, I think New Braunfels has grown so much. And it's a big family spot. Mm. And then, you know, the teachers haven't caught up with the supply hasn't caught up with the demand.
Right. Can you teach me to teach people?
I think you already know how to teach. It's in your heart.
No, it's not.
You're a good teacher.
I'm going to be like, you are doing a terrible job. Can you teach me patience? Maybe that's what I need more than.
I mean, I definitely learned how to teach on the job. Like somebody asked me when I first moved to Austin, like out of Baylor, if I could teach their kids piano. And I was like, yes. And then I was like Googling how to teach piano lessons.
Yeah. Really? Well, there is.
I mean, I did take piano, obviously, at Baylor. I took it forever. But the art of teaching, I mean, I've been doing it for over 20 years. And I still every day learn. There's a lot of different learning styles out there. It's not a one size fits all thing.
Right. And I took piano lessons when I was little for 2 weeks. And I remember telling my mom, I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah. I didn't like it.
So you're a by ear player.
Kind of. I mean, then when I went to middle school and then in choir, you know, you had to do like the sight reading competitions or whatever, you know, and then I thought, this note is this note. And this is, I learned scales and flats and sharps and what they meant.
It just made sense to me.
Yeah. And then I wanted to do it. And so I can read music, not, you know, Paul says I'm a lot better than I give myself credit for.
You're great.
I can read it, but I never was formally trained to do it, but I love it and I want to be, and I'm kicking myself for still not playing every day for the last 10 years, but.
So you want to hear something weird?
Yes.
I believe in reincarnation because of my experience teaching piano, because there are kids, sometimes kids from the same family, like siblings, and one just sits down and can. They just can. They know, they understand a chord, and it's not even the fact that they have the motor skills to do it. It is like they understand how everything fits together. It's like they've played before, and some of them are even, you know, kind of freak me out level, where I can show them a piece and they can just play it. And that's how I was, actually, when I was young. In fact, I skipped over learning how to read music completely, and I would just trick my piano teacher and ask her to play it for me, and then I would learn it by ear.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so I didn't actually learn to read music until, like, high school. And but then I'll have certain kids that will, I mean, they'll lay their hands down on the piano like this, like, you know.
Oh, upside down?
Upside down, or their little fingers have such a hard time, or they cannot remember where middle C is. And these kids are in the same family. I mean, it's just, it's amazing the huge spectrum of ability from like straight out of the gate, like from birth, you know?
So that's so wild. And I think piano makes so much like sense to my brain, whereas guitar makes no sense.
Same. I have such a hard time with guitar. Josh will be like, you know, it's just fourths like this, and you just do like this, and he's showing me how to, because I want to learn a little bit of lead. Just enough to trick people into thinking that you can play lead. And he'll show me these little patterns, like pentatonic scales.
Right.
And oh my God, my brain is, I want to understand it chromatically, and I can't.
Right. The piano is so spelled out, and I think that people should always learn piano, because for example, some guys that they'll just ask me even secretly, okay, can you explain to me why a capo does this? And I'm like, well, look, here's a piano. And then I can explain you because it makes so much more sense.
I have had to go to the piano and count half steps up and be like, okay, this is, we're playing G positions, but we're sounding in C. And it's many, many times piano has helped me because it's just laid out chromatically. It's,
yes. Linear. And the guitar. And it's so funny because we both have men who play guitar really well.
Oh, yeah.
And they, like, it doesn't translate to piano for Paul as, like it does for me. And that is so joyful sometimes because he's so good at everything.
No, Josh will Josh will sit down. We lucked out and we found this cool 1937 Steinway. You've seen it.
It's beautiful.
And I love it so much. I wanted it. I manifested that thing. And we got it. And we got it for a really cool price. We were really lucky. But Josh can sit down. It sounds like butter when you play it. You could play chopsticks and it sounds like butter. But Josh can, I think he can outplay me. I think he's more dynamic of a player than me.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. And he's not, you know, I get very locked into the way that I play, which is mostly chords and fifths, and I play in between the chords. He's not afraid to do, you know, a third in the bass while you're playing a certain chord.
Okay,
he's
I'm
not
an
afraid
octave
of those
bass player. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not afraid of those, and he definitely, like, he's a learner. He'll look up chords, and he continues learning. And I strive to be that way, but sometimes it's hard to break out of your patterns.
Yeah. Well, also, you do so much. I mean, you play in all these different bands. You teach 57 people, and then, you know, you have two kiddos. And so that's a lot of things to juggle.
Yeah.
I don't even know how you do it because you always look so pretty. And I'm like, so proud of you all the time. I'm like, you're just so hot.
You're so kind. So when my students see me with makeup on, they will, like, walk right past me.
They're like, that's not the same person.
In town or in HEB. I even had a student go, who are you? I know you. And I'm like, you know, that's Ms. Grider. Because normally it's a whole no makeup, hair in a very messy bun and sweats sort of deal at the house.
Well, it has to be able to do all of those things.
It does. It does. And I think, you know, the kids don't care. They clearly don't care. And I love the little feral kids that come in. They'll play in my front, in my backyard before they come into the lesson, like while they're waiting. And they'll have like sticks and leaves in their hair. And I have a messy bun. And it just feels like we're not there for pomp and circumstance.
Correct. And also we are real people that can't look amazing. Like Dolly Parton, bless her heart.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how. There's no way. I'm just not that person.
For sure. I'm a once a week makeup person and it's on gig days.
Right. Absolutely. Which, where are you going tonight?
Dallas. Okay. This is, I'm subbing with a cover band. So I haven't like fully belonged to a cover band for a long time now. I've been like kind of a sub.
Cool. And which is so fun. No pressure.
Wonderful, because you can turn down gigs and you're not like leaving people in the lurch ever.
Right.
And it's not such a big deal, but I do enjoy picking up gigs. It's great extra money. Like tonight we're playing for the Miss Universe pageant people. I don't know if like the actual Miss Universe people will be there. I never have any idea what I'm walking into. Sometimes it's very, very fancy. And sometimes it's just, you know, a little 4-piece band and a birthday party or something.
Right. And they secretly entered you and you're going to walk in and they're going to be like, contestant number 45. And you're like, what? I mean, you would probably win, but.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
Yeah. That's so exciting. The cover band thing, I mean, we've talked about it a lot. I wish I did it one time. They asked me to do it. They didn't ask me to do it again. I am not that singer. You have to be such a versatile singer. You sing everything from, I mean, give an example of the range. I mean,
everything from, I had to do an ABBA song one time for a father-daughter dance called Slipping Through My Fingers.
And it's very like, fingers out.
Yes, but it's very like kind of proper sounding, like slipping through my fingers. Anyway, and then
that was a way better example. I think about Meryl Streep in Mamma Mia. But yes.
Totally.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I have to rap sometimes, and then I'm a pretty good rapper.
No, I've seen you. What was the song you did at Mile Zero Fest?
Oh, yeah. That was No Diggity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about
the
that
genre
one.
The genre was 90s, and I did Everything I Do It For You, Bryan Adams.
Well, that was
and
so
then,
good.
And then you came out, like, one of the best singers, just in general, in all of our genre, and she came out saying no diggity.
I mean, it was fun.
It was epic.
But it was actually Josh that did the rap. Okay. I did the verses.
Whoa.
And they were a little too low for me. I think someone dropped out. I think that's why I ended up doing that song. And so I was like, yeah, I'll do that one.
Yeah.
I wanted to do Four Non-Blondes.
Oh my gosh.
That would have been a fun one.
That's
but
a hard song to sing.
No Diggity was...
That was so, that was so great. And you always sing the harmonies for that whole show. And it's so fun because I get to do like one song a year with you as my backup singer. And you had on those good pants this year.
I did.
And I was like, I texted you the next day immediately. And I was like, if I were you, I would wear those pants to the grocery store. I would wear them morning, night.
I was just about to have my first full band show for like my original music. And I was so excited and I was so nervous. We talked about it, about like hiring Paul. And I was going to wear that. It's a jumpsuit.
Right.
And it's awesome.
I didn't know
that. And it's
that.
Like it was tailor-made for my body.
Right.
And I love it. When I put it on, I feel like Superwoman or Wonder Woman, whichever one.
Both of them at the same time. That's what you feel like.
The gig fell through.
No.
Yes. Yes. And I found out by Googling it.
Don't you love when that happens?
Yeah.
What?
Because it was supposed to be at Sunken Gardens Theater, and I was going to open up for Kat Hasty and Summer Dean. I was super pumped. And I put a band together for my original music. I play with a lot of different bands, but those are cover bands. And so I called my dad first because he's a drummer. I was like, Dad, help. And so we slowly got a band put together, and I made a whole big set list with all the links to my songs, and we set up.
Which takes forever. People don't realize how long that takes.
It takes forever. And they had been learning the songs, and we had just settled on a rehearsal date when they were like, can you tell us a little bit more about this? And I was like, sure, let me just Google it. And the Eventbrite link kept coming up and saying canceled really big. And I was like, this is not right. It was. It's fine.
Well, I'm really bummed because we were all, or Paul was at least off, but I don't know if I could. I think I had something that day.
It was July 5th. Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, we were off. So we were like going to get to go see you full band. And anyway, when you do it,
that
you need to make sure
nervous.
That we are off. What? No.
That would make me
we're
so
your biggest
nervous.
Fans. You don't have to be. That would make me sad if you were nervous because we're like your biggest cheerleaders. And, well, I love watching you, of course, sing with Josh. That's what I've seen for a long time.
Yeah.
But then, like, your EP that came out last year, and then now you're doing solo gigs and now full band solo gigs, and I think that that's wonderful and it's a natural progression, but you're so good by yourself, and so that's got to be exciting for you, or how are
you so
feeling?
Kind.
No, but I mean it.
It is. It's very exciting. I think, so when Josh and I first got married, he had put together a full band, and as you know, that is hard work, and sometimes band members like don't show up or get arrested. He's had band members arrested on stage, like in the middle of tours.
Oh,
so
great.
He's like scrambling to find, and you have to, you know, in the beginning, you're not making a lot of money and you have to pay your band members to make it worth it for them to stick with you. And I think I just saw how tough that was for him. And I was like, all right, I'm going to continue doing this cover band thing because I walk in and I sing and I get my money and I leave. And then I also was teaching at that time, elementary music in Austin. I mean, it was a busy time. Don't get me wrong. It was tough, but it was tough in a more secure way.
Right.
Because we knew we were going to be getting that paycheck and I had insurance through work and things like that. So I think I just got comfortable in the cover band thing, and I would write very secretly and very quietly. I think so many more people write than you even know.
Yeah.
You know, and so anyway, you know, over time I would slowly kind of start showing Josh my songs. He'd be like, oh, you need to get up and sing that. You need to sing that here. You need it. He's always been incredibly supportive. And I think there's also a misunderstanding sometimes there that he kind of is like this Ike Turner, like keeping me
down. Oh, I remember you telling me that one time.
I mean, sometimes some people think that, but that could not be further from the truth.
Right.
Because first of all, my favorite place to be is singing harmony. Like, I just love, I would rather sing harmony for someone than, like, be up at the front singing my songs, because it's very, very vulnerable place to be. So anyway, I think that over time at his gigs, I would get up and play for people, and it, you know, it would be kind of cool, and people would really be receptive to the songs. And so that kind of got me writing more. I joined your writers group, and that really helped me. I don't even know if you know how much that helped me.
Oh, like, stop it.
I'm dead serious.
You were doing so, I mean, you were writing such amazing stuff, and it's very, I mean, it's such a fun thing, because it's, if you have something that's not, you know, perfect, it doesn't matter. It's the quantity. And then everything that you were turning in, I was like, this is great. And
thank you.
And it is about just getting the songs out and having the accountability that, and so I'm out of my group right now while we're moving.
Yeah.
I haven't written a song since I've been out. So it's like proving my point.
Hadn't either. And I actually started a new one up with a bunch of my girlfriends from cover bands, because, you know, we were kind of coming from the same place where it's very easy to get in that rut of singing other people's songs. You feel safe. And they all kind of were writing little bits here and there. And so we started, and now again, I'm producing so many more songs, and I want to write another album. My next project is going to actually be with Tina Wilkins.
Okay, amazing.
And we're working on that right now. Yeah, that's Walt Wilkins' wife.
Yeah. Well, I just have had so many things pop into my brain, because you were talking about your favorite place to sing is to be singing harmonies, and that's what Paul says. He loves to make people better. He loves to, or not make people better.
Yes.
I mean, just
no, truly,
be a support.
It does.
Yeah. And he likes that role, and he's very good at that role.
Yes, he is.
And so are you. And I remember talking to Walt Wilkins, because I went and sang harmony on a project, and I'm not a studio harmony singer, and that is not the role that I thrive in. So when I see someone that is, I'm like, it's so magical to me, kind of. But Walt Wilkins said, because I was singing the harmony and I wasn't, you know, quite nailing it. It took me a few times to find the part. And he said, there's only two people that ever come in my studio that I've seen that just nail it right away. And that's Tina Wilkins and Christy Greider.
Oh,
and
man.
I know.
That
it was
so
cool.
Means so much to me.
But it's true. And so it's a really amazing talent that I guess you can learn it, but I think you innately have that, right? Don't you feel like
truly?
You innately?
I mean, that's the one thing that I think I don't deal well with compliments, but that's the one thing I'll be like, hell yeah, I am a good harmony singer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I really enjoy it, and I'm proud of it, and it's something that I did kind of feel like made me special when I was young,
right?
Because I just could. I could hear both harmonies always, and sometimes, you know, the extra fourth if there was one.
Incredible. That's so fun.
Hey, this is Bree Bagwell, and if you want to listen to this podcast early and ad-free, subscribe to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/BreeBagwell.
Hey everybody, this is Bree Bagwell with Only Bands Podcast, and I want to point you in the right direction for content creation. My friends at Release Rocket Media are the best, Shelton and Ryan. They can do any sort of videos you want. They do all the audio, all the editing, stuff that I hate to do, they just do it for you. So if you're an artist or a business, it can be anything, and you need content creation, trust me, Release Rocket is your go-to. ReleaseRocketMedia.com.
Are you ready to take your merchandise to the next level? Well, just ask me who I use, and that is CH Lone Star Promo. They specialize in screen printing and direct-to-garment, embroidery, laser engraving, anything promo-related, they can do it. Step up your merch game now with CH Lone Star Promo, and tell them Brie and Whiskey sent you.
And I felt very lucky, and I think maybe piano had something to do with that, but really it was pre-piano, because I remember being in the back of my mom's car and she would always listen to praise and worship, like, you know, like the 80s praise and worship. And I remember just being like, oh, there's just different voices and they're just coming in and out of the same chord. Oh, okay. And I could see it all.
Right. And sometimes I'll try to, because when we record with our friend Rachel Loy, sometimes I'll sing harmony parts. I try to follow a melody too much.
Right.
Where
you're not in the chord anymore.
Right. Yeah. So it's interesting to understand piano, where I can go sit down on a piano and be like, I have to stay on this note instead of following a melody.
Totally.
To stay in that part.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to understand more, but I don't get the opportunity to sing harmony that much.
Yeah.
So I got to sing with Sean McConnell the other day, and the first night that I played with him, I kind of clammed up and I didn't, because it was terrifying.
I went
home and practiced, and then I was like, okay. And the next night I did it, but it's just not something that naturally happens because I don't get to practice it. But when I watch you do it, it's just so effortless and lovely. And I, not to switch again, but I do want to clarify, and I don't want to say this, I don't want this to come across as rude, like I'm dissing cover bands, because, but I'm trying to say that you are in the premier section of cover band. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
You're not singing with eight guys in their garage that love AC/DC.
No. We play the big stuff.
If you have $1 million and you're throwing a party, you're in the bands that they're hiring.
Definitely.
Like, you're in the top.
Definitely. Yeah, for sure.
Every cover band's going to be like, I hate this podcast.
I mean, again, that's not because of me. I'm definitely the little girl that they trot out because I am good at harmony and because I kind of bring the country stuff. But a lot of these women that I sing with are phenomenal, like ridiculous, better than Whitney Houston, better than Mariah Carey, Celine Dion, name it. And they're phenomenal. Like, they definitely don't need me as a vocal powerhouse, but I feel like I am kind of a solid person as far as harmony goes, and then I kind of bring the country vibe, I think.
Right. But you can sing anything, but you show up, you're on time, you look professional, like, you know, there's all of that that goes into that,
too. Yeah, I'm a grown-up about it, for sure. I do my homework.
Right, you're not going to be drunk.
No.
Right, so for sure. Now that you're an artist... Now that you're doing your own gigs, have the freedom to show up wasted.
I would never either.
But I'm just saying it's funny because
you
have such a pro attitude towards music, because you can't be anything but pro in those bands that you're in.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You will go goodbye.
These are the bigger money bands, and they play kind of high-profile stuff. I signed an NDA, but I think now I can talk about it. I definitely played a gig a couple of months ago, and it was for Jerry Jones, and all of the cowboys were there, and all the women were wearing floor-length leather gowns. Now, hear me out. It sounds so ugly, right? Like, sounds
weird.
I can't
even picture it.
Like, think like the soft leather, like not the shiny leather.
Mm, yeah, the expensive leather.
I can't imagine the money. I know what I made.
Right.
And I was like 1/15th of the band. It was a big band.
Big band.
And we were the opening band for, oh my God, this is Jason Aldean. He was playing in the bag part. And so we were just opening and closing for him. We were kind of like the filler band. And he did an hour in between. And that's when we kind of went around, and the guys in the band were like, that's so-and-so, and that's so-and-so, like from the Cowboys.
Right.
But yeah, we play a lot of those type of gigs, like very high-profile gigs. And you'll have to sometimes sign an NDA that you won't, like, put things online.
Right, and you're not there taking photos of anyone. And
it's crazy.
But that's so much fun. I'm glad you get to do that, because I just wanted to clarify, because that is, like, someone like me, like, I could never be in that band. They'd say sing this song, and I'm like, can you drop that four keys down, please? Thank you so much.
I do that. I ask them to drop things.
Well, those players can do anything too.
Party in the USA. Are you kidding?
Oh my gosh, Miley is a singer.
She is. I mean, it's so funny. It's so easy to write her off as, you know, this kind of crazy party girl, but she is. She has got pipes.
And she
turns out.
Yeah, her last performance at, I can't remember where it was. Anyway, I think she's great.
Yeah.
So, but I can't. I've tried to sing that song too. Absolutely not.
Oh.
So anyway, I wish people could see what you do, but you're gonna have to be invited to like a multi-million-dollar. You're gonna have to be in the know to be able to sing. See Christy singing one of those. But I think that the singing all those different styles of music, your EP, it's not one song is not like the other. They're all very different, and probably maybe.
Well, and I really worried about that. And it's kind of like that on my first EP as well. And I thought, people are not going to like this because it's not homogenous. It's not the same all the way throughout. And I think if anything, it helps because I don't know about you, but I don't like to listen to the same exact thing over and over and over. In fact, I feel like your music is refreshing too. Like from song to song, it's not the same chords around the same key in the
A lot of that's Rachel Lloyd too, but
she's amazing. Yeah. She is amazing. Yes, agreed. But yeah, I was worried that that would be work against me, that every song is so different, but
absolutely not. I think it's so great. It shows so much diversity and so fun to listen to. It's a journey. It sounds great. Can you talk about where you recorded that?
Yeah. So we put it out December 13th. We recorded it over the summer last year, and it was at the Finishing School, which is owned by Gordy Quist.
Yeah, we've talked about that studio multiple times on this podcast. And
yes,
Bart Crow is just on here. We couldn't remember the name of it.
Well, I have said the Finishing Studio before, but it's the Finishing School, right?
And it's a great studio. Yeah, and I'm so sorry, Gordy, because we're big fans. But
it's
glad
so cool.
We're saying it again.
I mean, I don't even think he needs promotion because it's the coolest place to record in Austin. And what's really funny is Courtney Patton had just finished recording her record in the same exact place with a lot of the same players, like most of the same players. And I was so intimidated because Trevor Nealon played keys for me and he had played for her and like produced her. And I walked in, I was like, oh, I heard y'all just finished up recording for Courtney. And he was like, yeah, it was like a spiritual experience. And we all cried. And I was like, well, here's my song. I mean, it was great, though. They were so kind. And I was really worried that I was going to have a hard time, like, kind of verbalizing to them what I wanted. And I felt like they all really reached out and met me halfway. I had Trevor Nealon on keys. Mm-hmm. I had, who Courtney also had, and she also had David Jimenez. And he's an amazing guitar player. And then I had a different drummer, Conrad Shukran, because Josh had just told me he was amazing, and I trust Josh.
Yeah.
Like, he knows. And then Rachel Loy on bass.
Yeah.
And I mean, she should have producer credits because multiple times she would say, like, what if instead of going back to the 5-chord here, what if we stayed on the 1 and just built and built and built and then went into this key change? And we would all do it together and it would be like amazing, like elevating the song. And Josh would be from the other room like, she's amazing. Like,
yeah.
She's amazing.
She's so smart.
She's so smart.
And
she
so
just
kind
knows.
About how she...
Oh, yeah.
She's not forceful or... She's just so... Hey,
she's
let's
gentle.
Try this.
Yeah. And I think that's just because at her heart, she's very respectful of the craft and of your craft. And I've co-written with her multiple times before I had really co-written with any other people.
Wow.
And I feel like she was a very gentle first. Like, she taught me kind of how to co-write and how to take other people's ideas and like, yeah, and, or yeah, but, and not like trample on it or be like, no, that's dumb. Like, you know, she was just so respectful, and I never was afraid to throw a lyric out because she never, ever put anything down, you know?
Yeah. Her and I wrote a song that we just recorded. We wrote it together and it was weird because, you know, sometimes it just, there's uncomfortable moments or whatever, but there's just not with her. She has some sort of magic about her.
Truly. She feel really like, and I wonder if she's like this with everybody or just with us.
No, just with us.
But
we're her favorites. She doesn't like anyone else except us and Brian and Josh.
But there is something about her where you feel like, very, very understood and very seen and very respected. And I think that makes you feel, it makes me a better writer because then I'm less afraid to speak my truth. And usually that's where the good lyrics are.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. And there's so many times where I've shut down in a writing session or a producer session or a recording session where I just felt, and she always listens to my ideas.
Yep.
And so I'm so glad she was a part. But then, of course, I just interviewed John Randall about Rachel playing on Miranda's record.
Yeah.
And John Randall was like,
Rachel Loy brought so much to that record. So unfortunately, it's not just us. Not just it's us. Everybody. But that record is so good. And what makes me laugh, not laugh, but the album cover, I love it. But yeah. You're walking your dog. Christy Grider loves a walk.
I love a walk. We have this couples therapy group. That's what we call it. It's really a supper club. Mm-hmm. But it's Paul and Bree, Rachel Loy and Brian Keene. Mm-hmm. Rachel Keene. The Loy Keens?
The Loy Keens?
Keen Loys?
I've called him Brian Loy a few times.
We call you guys Breeson.
Breeson. Yeah. We have a celebrity couple name.
Is it Breeson?
Well, it's been a few times now, so I'm just waiting. I'm like, we got to be careful about going to Target looking like a train wreck because like we're going to be on TMZ. We got a name.
Yeah, you are.
You know?
Yeah, you are.
No, I'm just kidding.
Who? Okay, so we also have the Chopses. Johnny Chops and Andy.
And Andy.
And
but how do you say plural chop? Chops. We call them the Chopses.
Yeah. And Drew and Holly.
Kennedy. Yes.
And so we always get together when we all can, which is tough because we're all musicians and going in many different directions. But we get together and we have these supper club nights where we kind of do therapy on each other. That sounds weird and freaky. But no, we always end up getting really deep with conversation and talking about the real things. And it's so life-giving and it is so fulfilling. And it doesn't drain your social battery. Like we've all said, we can come in off the road like exhausted. You came
I was dead
from New York City. You flew in from New York straight to our house.
Yeah, and I looked like it too. I could tell everyone was like, are you okay? And
I'm a
little bit. Well, and I was stressed out because remember they paid my booking agent in full. And so I'd gotten like no money for the last couple weeks.
Oh my God.
But it was all fine. It was just... I was so glad that the show actually happened because I was so... Anyway, but continue, yes.
No, but it's... What's really great about those evenings is we cut to the real stuff and none of us are like, so what do you do for a living or whatever? We're like, what keeps you up at night? And, you know, we talk about like the real things and things that are truly like bothering us and we get into it and we kind of therapize one another.
Yeah.
If that's even a verb.
Or happening in, like, things that happen in Nashville that we can't tell anyone else.
Truly,
things that happen that are terrifying and unfair.
Yes.
And there's no fluff. It's not like, please don't tell anybody this. It's like, no one's going to tell anybody anything.
We are in the tree of trust.
But truly. And we can be like, that is ridiculous and awful, and I'm sorry that happened to you.
Yes.
And here's something similar that happened to me.
Yes. It's so nice. I think so much of therapy, I've learned this, just through my pop therapy stuff on Instagram, I've learned that having an empathetic witness to your life is very important.
Wow.
I think you get a lot of peace from that. And then also, I am ADHD.
But all of us are.
Like truly, who is neurotypical?
No.
Not I.
Definitely nobody we hang out with.
I think that's why we're all musicians and why we find each other and why after hanging out with maybe a bunch of neurotypical people, we have our supper club nights and we're like, oh my God, I'm so glad you're as weird as you are because you get me.
And why we started this talk about walks and then we've ended up not getting there. But
okay.
But on your album cover, you're walking your dog.
I am. I am walking. So the guy that designed the album cover is Jesse Valdez. He owns Bush Dog Creative here in New Braunfels.
Oh, cool.
And he's done some shirts for the local. He's done a lot of cool work. But he has seen me on my walks. And we were talking to him about doing it. And I was like, yeah, I really like to walk. He was like, I think I know exactly what I want to do. And he even put Scout in it. And he even did a floppy ear.
I know, floppy ear. It's so cute.
So that's the cover of my album and my only shirt right now. I'm about to get some more shirts made.
Oh, I can't wait. Oh, I want one. It's just so cute because we'll be all full and we've had a lot of wine and we're all talking. And then Chrissy's like, okay, we're going on a walk. And Rachel Loy's like, I'm not wearing my big shoes anymore. She stopped doing that because now
we walk.
We walk after dinner and not just like up and down. Like we go for a walk around the neighborhood.
We go for a walk. And it's, first of all, it blunts the glucose spike that we get from, because someone inevitably brings a really good dessert and we're drinking wine.
Yeah.
And so if you go for a walk, you blunt your glucose spike, because that's another thing I'm obsessed with, is finding ways to ward off any sort of cognitive decline in myself, because when you see it in family members, like both of my grandmothers had it, it makes you worried for your future and things like that. So I go on deep dives about, like, you know, how glucose is primarily responsible, and excess glucose in the brain is responsible for dementia and Alzheimer's, and how when you walk after dinner, it blunts the glucose spike tremendously. And so that's just what we do.
Okay. Now. Well, now I know, because you also gave, like, my dog, I had said something about my dog, and you came out with 10 different doggy drugs for her. And then, or if I tell you anything about my stomach, you're like,
yes,
I have this for your stomach. And you'll hand it to me under the table so I don't have to be embarrassed in front of
everybody.
It's like
papaya enzymes. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't have to learn about it because Christy Greider has learned about it for me. And
truly. No, I love, I'm just halfway crunchy. I always have been.
Yeah.
My Nana was super crunchy, and she was like health food store before health food store was cool. You know, and she would always be like, take this. And it's always something that, like, you could take the entire bottle and, you know, nothing would happen, really. Like, nothing bad would happen.
Right. And so what's the harm in just giving it a go? You drink that rosemary oil. That's not what you're supposed to do. Don't do that. Don't take health advice from this podcast. But
no, it's great. And I really do enjoy the fact that I hand things now to my husband and it's like 4 black pills and a tonic that he's supposed to drink after, and he doesn't even ask what it is. He's like, okay, like whatever.
Yeah.
And sometimes it works.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, you're getting on the road sometimes. You're getting on the road right now, and I can't believe you did this on your show day. Sorry. Thank you, though, for doing that.
I'm happy to.
You're about to go have to sing like Aretha Franklin, and I made you talk to me, but you're...
No, I love it.
One
I
of
love
the
this.
Best vocalist, incredible writer. Your records are so amazing. The live records you've done with Josh are awesome, and you and him together is magical. You by yourself is magical. You and the cover band is magical. There's not one thing that's better than the other, but I am very excited to see you do your own thing because you are just, it's all across the board great.
Bree, thank
just
you.
All up here. And
thank
so,
you. That
Christy
means
Greider,
so much.
Follow her on everything. She's terribly ugly, but at least she's good at everything else. So,
I mean,
you got a great belt.
I do have a great belt. Yeah. Thank you.
Be safe on the road. I love you.
I love you,
my
friend.
My dog loves you.
I love whiskey too.
Okay, bye.
I've traveled and still have so many to go. Full moon is shining, my tracks are all covered with snow. The night may be dark, but I do my best not to lose hope. I've always got hope. Babe, now that you're here, it's gonna be that you're here.